Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Let us pray. Assist us mercifully with your help, O Lord God of our salvation, that we may enter with joy upon the contemplation of those mighty acts where you have given us life and immortality through Jesus Christ, our Lord. A reading from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 11, verses 1 to 11. When they were approaching Jerusalem at Bethage and Bethany, near the Mount of Olives, Jesus sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the village ahead of you, and immediately as you enter it, you will find tied there a colt that has never been ridden. Untie it and bring it. If anyone says to you what you are doing, just say this: the Lord needs it and will send it back here immediately." They went away and found a colt tied near a door outside in the street. As they were untying it, some of the bystanders said to them, "What are you doing untying the colt?" They told them what Jesus had said, and they allowed them to take it. Then they brought the colt to Jesus and threw their cloaks on it, and he sat on it. Many people spread their cloaks on the road, and others spread leafy branches that had cut in the fields. Then those who went ahead and those who followed were shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is the one who comes in the name of the Lord. Blessed is the coming kingdom of our ancestor David. Hosanna in the highest heaven." Then he entered Jerusalem and went into the temple. And when he had looked around at everything, as it was already late, he went out to Bethany with the 12. The Lord be with you. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to praise you, Almighty God, for the acts of love by which you have redeemed us through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. On this day, he entered the holy city of Jerusalem in triumph and was proclaimed as King of Kings by those who spread their garments and branches of palms along his way. Let these branches be for us signs of his victory, and grant that we who bear them in his name may ever hail him as our King and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, now and forever. Love in peace. In the name of Christ, amen. We now sing the hymn, "All Glory, Laud, and Honor," from the hymnal 154. You can help me. Let us pray. Almighty God, whose more dear Son went not up to joy, but he first suffered pain, and entered not into glory before he was crucified, mercifully grant that we, walking in the way of cross, may find it none other than the way of life and peace through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Number 156, Ride On, Ride On in Majesty. The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Almighty and ever-living God, in your tender love for the human race, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon him our nature and to suffer death upon the cross, giving us the example of his great humility. Mercifully grant that we may walk in the way of his suffering and always share in his resurrection through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the ministry of the Word.
A reading from the Word of God written in Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 to 9a. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me. Therefore, I have not been disgraced. Therefore, I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people. The psalm appointed for today is Psalms chapter 31, verses 9 to 16, found in the Book of Common Prayer, page 623. Please remember to pause at the asterisk. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye is consumed with sorrow, and also my throat and my belly.
Because of affliction, and my bones are consumed.
I have become a reproach to all my enemies, and even to my neighbors, a dismay to those of my acquaintance. When they see me in the street, they avoid me.
I am as useless as a broken pot.
For I have heard the whispering of the crowd. Fear is all around. They put their heads together against me. They plot to take my life.
But as for me, I have trusted in you, O Lord. I have said, you are my God.
My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, now.
The second lesson is taken from Paul's letter to the Philippians, chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God. During the singing of the next hymn, those persons who are going to participate in the Passion Narrative, I invite you to come forward to one of the microphones. The hymn before the Passion Narrative, from hymnal 162, "The Royal Banners Forward Go."
The royal banner. Jesus Christ, according to Mark. It was 2 days before the Passover and the festival of unleavened bread. The chief priests and the scribes were looking for a way to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him. For they said,
"Not during this festival, for there may be a riot among the people."
While he was at Bethany, in the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came with an alabaster jar of very costly ointment of nard. And she broke open the jar and poured the ointment on his head. But some were there who said to one another in anger,
"Why was the anointing wasted in this way? For this anointment could have been sold for more than 300 denarii and the money given to the poor."
And they scolded her. But Jesus said,
"Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She has performed a good service for me. For you always have the poor with you, and you can show kindness to them whenever you wish. But you will not always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for its burial. Truly I tell you, wherever the good news is proclaimed in the whole world, what she has done will be told in remembrance of her."
Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. When they heard it, they were greatly pleased and promised to give him money. So he began to look for an opportunity to betray him. On the first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb is sacrificed, the disciples said to Jesus,
"Where do you want us to go and make the preparations for you to eat the Passover?"
So he sent two of his disciples, saying to them,
"Go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him, and wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is my guest room where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large room upstairs, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there."
So the disciples set out and went to the city and found everything as he told them, and they prepared the Passover meal. When it was evening, Jesus came with the 12. And when they had taken their places and were eating, Jesus said,
"Truly I tell you, one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me."
They began to be distressed and to say to him one after another,
"Surely, not I."
Jesus said to them,
"It is one of the 12, one who's dipping the bread into the bowl with me. For the Son of Man goes as it is written of him. But woe to that one by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that one not to have been born."
While they were eating, he took a loaf of bread, and after blessing it, he broke it, gave it to them, and said,
"Take, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, and after giving thanks, he gave it to them, and all of them drank from it. He said to them,
"This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I tell you, I will never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God."
When they had sung the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. And Jesus said to them,
"You will all become deserters. For it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him,
"Even though all become deserters, I will not."
Jesus said to him,
"Truly I tell you, this day, this very night, before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times."
But Peter said vehemently,
"Even though I must die with you, I will not deny you."
And all of them said the same. They went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I pray."
He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated and said to them,
"I am deeply grieved, even unto death. Remain here and keep awake."
And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. He said,
"Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want."
Jesus came and found them sleeping, and he said to Peter,
"Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak."
And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."
Immediately, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. And with him there was a crowd with swords and clubs, from the chief priests to scribes and the elders. Now the betrayer had given them a sign, saying,
"The one I will kiss is the man. Arrest him and lead him away on the guard."
So when he came, he went up to him at once and said,
Rabbi,
and kissed him. Then they laid hands on him and arrested him. But one of those who stood near drew his sword and struck the slave of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to them,
"Have you come out with swords and clubs to arrest me as though I were a bandit? Day after day I was with you in the temple teaching, and you did not arrest me. But let the scriptures be fulfilled."
All of them deserted him and fled. A certain young man was following him, wearing nothing but a linen cloth. They caught hold of him, but he left the linen cloth and ran off naked. They took Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests, the elders, and the scribes were assembled. Peter had followed him at a distance, ran into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards, warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were looking for testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many gave false testimony against him, and their testimony did not agree. Some stood up and gave false testimony against him, saying,
"Have you no answer? What is it that they testify against you?"
But even at this point, their testimony did not agree. Then the high priest stood up before them and asked Jesus,
"Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?"
But he was silent and did not answer. Again, the high priest asked him,
"I am.
Are you the Messiah, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus said,
"I am. And you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power, and coming with the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his clothes and said,
"Why do you still need witnesses? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?"
All of them condemned him as deserving death. Some began to spit on him, to blindfold him, and to strike him, saying to him,
Prophesy.
The guards also took him over and beat him. While Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came by. When she saw Peter warming himself, she stared at him and said,
"You also were with Jesus, the man from Nazareth."
But he denied it, saying,
"I do not know or understand what you're talking about."
And he went out into the forecourt. Then the cock crowed, and the servant girl, on seeing him, began again to say to the bystanders,
"This man is one of them."
But again he denied it. Then after a while, the bystanders again said to Peter,
"Certainly, you are one of them, for you are a Galilean."
But he began to curse, and he swore an oath,
"I do not know this man you're talking about."
At that moment, the cock crowed for the second time. Then Peter remembered that Jesus had said to him, "Before the cock crows twice, you will deny me three times." And he broke down and wept. Mark 15:1.
"Are you the King of the Jews?"
Jesus answered him,
"Are you the King of the Jews?"
"You say so."
Then the chief priests accused him of many things. Pilate asked him again,
"Have you no answer? So how many more charges are they bringing against you?"
But Jesus made no further reply, so that Pilate was amazed. Now at the festival, he used to release a prisoner for them, anyone for whom they asked. Now a man called Barabbas was in prison with the rebels who had committed murder during the insurrection. So the crowd came and began to ask Pilate to do for them according to his custom. Then he answered them,
"Do you want me to release for you the King of the Jews?"
For he realized that it was out of jealousy that the chief priests had handed him over. But the chief priests stirred up the crowd to have him release Barabbas for them instead. Pilate spoke to them again,
"Then what do you wish me to do with the man you call the King of the Jews?"
They shouted back,
"Crucify him."
Pilate asked them,
"Why? What evil has he done?"
But they shouted all the more,
"Crucify him."
So Pilate, wishing to satisfy the crowd, released Barabbas for them. And after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers led him into the courtyard to the place, that is, the governor's headquarters. And they called together the whole cohort. And they clothed him in a purple cloak. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it on him. And they began saluting him,
"Hail, King of the Jews."
They struck his head with a reed, spat upon him, and knelt down in homage to him. After mocking him, they stripped him of the purple cloak and put his own clothes on him. They had led him out to crucify him. They compelled a passerby who was coming in from the country to carry his cross. It was Simon of Cyrene, the father of Alexander and Rufus. Then they brought Jesus to the place called Golgotha, which means the place of a skull. And they offered him wine mixed with myrrh, but he did not take it. And they crucified him and divided his clothes among them, casting lots to decide which each should take. It was 9 o'clock in the morning when they crucified him. The inscription of the charge against him read, "The King of the Jews." And with him they crucified two bandits, one on his right and one on his left. Those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying,
"Aha! You have destroyed the temple and built it up in 3 days. Save yourself and come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests, along with the scribes, were also mocking him among themselves and saying,
He saved others. He cannot save himself. Let the Messiah, the King of Israel, come down from the cross now so that he may see and believe."
Those who were crucified with him also taunted him. When it was noon, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. At 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice,
"Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani,"
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said,
"Listen, he is calling Elijah."
And someone ran, filled a sponge with sour wine, put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink, saying,
"Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to take him down."
Then Jesus gave a loud cry and breathed his last. At the curtain of the temple was torn in two, from top to bottom. Now when the centurion who stood facing him saw that in this way he breathed his last, he said,
"Truly, this man was God's son."
There were also women looking on from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of James, the younger one of Jose and Salome. These used to follow him and provided him when he was in Galilee. And there were many other women who had come up to him from Jerusalem. When evening had come, and since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself waiting expectantly for the kingdom of God, went boldly to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate wondered if he were already dead and summoned the centurion. He asked him whether he had been dead for some time. When he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the body to Joseph. Then Joseph bought a linen cloth and, taking down the body, wrapped it in the linen cloth and laid it in the tomb that had been hewed out of a rock. He then rolled a stone against the door of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary, the mother of Jose, saw where the body was laid.
At the cross where I first saw the light, and the burdens of my heart rolled away. It was there by faith I received my sight, and now I am happy all the A warm welcome to you this morning on this Sunday of Passion, Palm Sunday, as we begin in this Holy Week of Lent. And to those of you viewing at home, we want to welcome you from St. John's Episcopal Church in the Diocese of the Virgin Islands. We invite you to join us this week for Stations on the Cross on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. and also on Wednesday for noonday prayer, when we celebrate the life and witness of John. Today is the last Sunday in which we celebrate VI Culture Month. Today's radio broadcast is sponsored by Joe Braffa in celebration of her birthday on Saturday coming. And she's grateful to Almighty God for allowing her another year to give God thanks and praise. Happy birthday to you, Joelle. Let us pray. Lord God, as your church rejoices in the triumphant entry of our Lord, grant us also the spirit of repentance and sorrow for his suffering. May we at this holy time set forth the message of his salvation and lay our minds and wills before him as an offering of faith. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Please be seated. As we come to know the liturgy better, we recognize that it is a masterpiece, wisely shaped over the centuries as the Holy Spirit has guided the church. Today, as the greatest week of the church's year begins, the lesson of the liturgy is astoundingly restrained and simple, yet rather appropriate. We may want to ask ourselves this morning, what does this time mean for us? Does it have meaning anymore? During the past year, there was no Palm Sunday, no one had palm branches waving as we would normally do coming up the street. There was no Stations of the Cross as you would accustom to. There was no Monday, Thursday service, which would have included washing the feet. There was no Holy Saturday. No babies were baptized. We did not celebrate Easter as we are accustomed to. So what is Mark's narrative suggesting to us? As we continue to go through this pandemic, our sense of time seems to be strained. And as we continue to look at Jesus' life, his struggle that he went through on our behalf, and as we perhaps this year have a little bit more of a shape of an Easter for next Sunday, where are we today? Last year, we did this particular service virtually, with perhaps 5 persons were in the church assisting me. It was not only physical, but a spiritual agony. Good Friday was not the same. And so we are here again today. I wonder the same thing in a different context. The ravages are yet to unfold, and the daily death records yet are there before us. There's no greater comfort for the Christian than the perpetual glory of the resurrection. And every time there seems to be a sense of hope, there is destruction. Whenever, as people will call, but when are we having communion? And I would say soon. And whenever I believe that soon is the following Sunday, something happens. We end up in grief and in pain. The passion, nonetheless, is always playing out somewhere. There's always unbearable betrayals, unjust accusations. Bodies are beaten and broken to death. Senseless killings continue in our community. And even in the midst of this very challenging year, I see the light at the end of the tunnel. There's hope, my sisters and brothers. And as we sort of went through the passion narrative, in the very smart, very simple way of sharing the story of Jesus' brief acclaim of entry into Jerusalem is in contrast with the stark horror of the story of the Passion. The people cry out that the kingdom of our father David has come. How ironic is the way in which these words are to be fulfilled. We heard the first reading from Isaiah, which invites us to learn from the example of the Savior. But as we are now in Holy Week, where are our minds today? Like God's servant, we should be glad that the Lord wakes us to hear, listen, disciples, listen, my disciples. We should be happy that as we are able to come and give God thanks and praise today, that we can express to God, even though during these challenging times, that we are happy to be here. Look at the second reading from Philippians, echoing a hymn used in the liturgy back in the first generation of the church, where Paul summarizes with majestic brevity the drama of what God has done in the Savior's Paschal mystery. How he emptied himself, shared our human condition, even to accepting death on the cross. And finally, how he is now raised high with the Father. Servant we heard of in from the prophet Isaiah, Jesus is not merely ethical example, but Christus Victor. And you know, before the pandemic, I would do services with the Lutheran Church, and I would have to journey all the way that would be south, north, and they have a Lutheran Church over there, and the name is Christus Victor, small congregation, but a deep congregation. And as we perhaps listen to Mark's take on this partial narrative, he superimposes the suffering crucifix of the triumph cross. The passionate narrative is telling us the story of the Lord's passion and death, and confronting us in Mark's factual and forthright style with the cruelty and horror of a horrendous miscarriage of justice in the darkness which descends upon the entire land, the rendering of the temple veil, the top to the bottom, and the confession of the Gentile centurion. In truth, this man was the Son of God. Hearing the dawning light of the new order of things, which will be inaugurated with the Savior's resurrection. Years ago, I used to hear, action speaks louder than words. And the old custom of preserving the palms from today's liturgy until Ash Wednesday next year, when you bring them to the church before, and then they're burnt to prepare the ashes, should remind us as we take the palms today of what we would have said, Hosanna, Hosanna, in one breath. Then, crucify, 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 in another breath. When we ever be going through this, I always remember some 50 or so years ago, participating in Reverend and Rice's rock opera, Jesus Christ Superstar, which we performed at various locations, not only in our church, but in other churches. And in performing it, the impact that it had on a number of us as young, as a result, I think about 3 or 4 of us have become priests. What an opportunity. And I wonder that today, even as we go through this pandemic, what are people thinking about in this passion? Is it burning inside? Is it ripping through you? What type of passion are you having as we go through this Holy Week? As we remember shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna. As we remember shouting, crucify, crucify, crucify. What do we believe was going through the mind of Jesus? The crowds believed that they had victory. One time, it was like this. The other time, it was like that. Where are we in all of this? As we begin this Passion Week, are we going to shout and remain shouting, Hosanna, 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 King of the Jews? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Together, we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever.
Prayers of the people. Eternal and loving God, through the glorification of your Son, Jesus, you have taught us to follow him through death into eternal life. Glorify your name in us as we bring before you the concerns of the world, saying, create in us clean hearts, O God, and renew a right spirit within us. Blessed Father, your Son Jesus has taught your church that when a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it bears much fruit. Empower your people in our journey of sacrifice and compassion to follow Christ in such faithfulness that we may be glorified with him. Create in us clean hearts, O God, Almighty One. You have driven out the ruler of this world through the glorification of Jesus. Put your law of love within the hearts of all who hold it authority among the nations, that they may hear of joy and gladness, so that the broken body of the world may rejoice. Create in us clean hearts, O God. Bring the joy of your saving help to all who suffer throughout the world, that they may hear of joy and gladness and be healed. Create in us clean hearts, O God.
Renew a right spirit within us.
Gracious God, you have promised that all who serve your beloved will be honored in your sight. Have mercy upon this community that they all may know you from the least to the greatest and follow in the way that Christ has shown us. Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And renew a right spirit within us.
Let our prayers ascend unto Jesus, our eternal priest, as we offer up our intercession and supplication, especially for the sick and the shut-in. We thank you for the incarnation of your Son, Jesus, who shares our sorrows and our joys. Hear our praise and thankfulness for all the blessings we enjoy, especially for life, for being here to celebrate another Palm Sunday in your presence. We entrust into your life all of those who have surrendered their lives into your eternal keeping, especially the members of this church. Create in us clean hearts, O God.
And renew our right spirit within us.
Give us the joy of your saving help again, and sustain us with your bountiful spirit, O God, as we follow Jesus in service to your world, that the salvation and glorification you have accomplished through his cross and resurrection may extend your eternal life throughout the creation, now and forever.